Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
He thinks you're Santa Claus. I am.
You know what? I know.
Know what?
The secret.
What secret?
Santa Claus. I've known for a long time. He's not real.
Says who?
My mom.
I am the parent. You are the friendly guy down the hall.
They say that seeing is believing. But the truth is, the world is held together by things you can't see.
There really has to be something you want for Christmas.
A house, a brother, and a dad. That's all I ever want. He loves you and he wants to kiss you. And he thinks he's the most beautiful woman in the world. If you're really Santa Claus, you can get it for me.
Right.
Hey there, and welcome to the holiday edition of Rewatchability. My name is Blaine Waters, and with me as always is...
Ho, 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 ho!
Oh my God, Santa?
That's right. Please don't make me be in character the entire episode.
Aw, thank God that you're here, Santa, instead of Rob.
No.
We are on the Entertainment One Podcast Network, and before we begin, I just wanted to shout out to our Patreons. Those are people that go to patreon.com/rewatchability, and they give us some Christmas cheer in the form of cold hard cash over the internet. And that's like $1, $3, $5 a month.
And that's what Christmas is all about.
Cash.
I
mean, that's what this movie proves.
Man, I always want to just ask my parents for money. I mean, not just at Christmas. 12 months a year. I could actually use some help, Mom.
Oh, my God. Well, Rob's mom, you can go to patreon.com/rewatchability. And
or give me cash.
And fund your son there.
Fund your son.
Fundyoursun.com. We are going to talk about – this is like a much-beloved Christmas remake.
It's huge. It was a huge movie. It's one of the – I think
– it's a Hughes movie.
It is. Yeah. Dare I say it's one of the essential Christmas movies.
Yes.
I think that's at least how we should be examining it because it's huge. It has all the elements. Mm-hmm. It's big.
There's a Santa. There's some wishes for some presents.
It has everything that you would want.
Fulfillment of those wishes.
Yeah, everything you'd want of a Christmas movie.
Yeah, this movie fulfills your wishes.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, we're going to get into that. But before, Rob, when did you first see Miracle on 34th Street, the remake, 1994?
I think that I saw it very early on. I don't remember the exact moment, but it feels like a movie that we always had sort of growing up. I mean, after it came out.
Right.
I was already 10, but I think for my brother and in particular my sister, they were big fans of this movie. So we watched it over and over and over again.
Oh my God, did you have the like hard shell clam like plastic case for it?
Did it have a clam shell? I don't remember if it did. I think we probably taped it off the movie network, to be honest.
Fair enough.
Please do not send Interpol after us.
The scariest of the police. But did you like it? Was it one of your favorite Christmas movies when you were a kid?
I don't think that I liked it so much as I accepted it. Like there are certain things about Christmas, certain traditions that you can either put up resistance Or you can just let them happen, and right. your life will probably be easier. And I think this was one of them. Like,
right. This is kind of like the uncle that comes over to Christmas. You're like, well, I don't
no,
like this
no,
guy.
It's not troubling or problematic.
I mean, I didn't put that on it, bro. No, but it's like one of those things that like happens at Christmas, and you're like, this is I don't have any kind of feeling about this. This is just part of Christmas.
Yeah, like you're not going to question it. Like you don't question Jingle Bells.
Right.
You're not like, why the fuck is Jingle Bells something that we have to sing every year? It's like, we've done it since we were 4 years old. Haven't we had enough of goddamn Jingle Bells?
Yeah, I was playing that song the other day, and there's a lot of verses that are really fucking weird.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll stomp the demon out of the children who have been wicked. When their brains are splashed in the snow, then we'll open our gifts.
No, but there is kind of like a small revenge plot. Like this guy gets cast off his horse and all these rich people laugh at him.
Jeez.
It's like this weird – anyway, so it was a big part of your growing up is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You didn't really have any feeling for it. Have you watched it since like being a kid?
No, okay. It's not one of those movies that I ever personally thought to go back to. It doesn't have any elements that I would overtly be into, except for Richard Attenborough as the Santa Claus.
Great casting.
Because to me, he is kind of the Santa Claus, at least like the celebrity Santa Claus in right. my life. Because, you know, like you have – I don't know about you, but like I have like an image – to me of what Santa Claus looks like. And it's a combination of all the other different images and representations.
Right.
But I would think for me it's either the Santa from Ernest Saves Christmas right. or this one, the guy from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's fair. He is, I mean, I do remember as soon as I saw him on screen, I was like, yeah, that is kind of the platonic ideal of the Santa I have in my head.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, not too much beard.
Not too
much.
Just enough.
Realistic.
English accent.
Yeah, it's got to be an English guy. Though, yeah. I would also take, like, a Norwegian thing.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. He has to be some sort of explorer that has gone to the North Pole.
He can't be from Queens. Let's say that.
Hey, I'm handing out gifts here. Hey, oh.
But, yeah. So, I mean, I was looking forward to revisiting this one and maybe trying to get in touch again with the magic of Christmas.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
What about you, Blaine? When was the first time that you saw A Miracle on 34th Street?
Yeah, I never did. Just the disappointment on your face.
Wow.
That's horrible.
Okay, so no, we know who you are. You're like little Merrill Wilson. You don't believe in Santa.
Except I don't sound like an adult.
No, that's true. You don't have the vocabulary.
No vocabulary. No, I don't. But I saw bits and pieces of it on like TBS, mm-hmm. like growing up. So I did see the end scene in the courtroom. And when it happened halfway through the movie, I was like, half this movie is a goddamn courtroom drama?
It's what? Like Law and Order.
Oh, gong, God. Gong. It's like, yeah, let's make this kids movie, but put more courtroom in it.
Kids love courtrooms.
Yeah. My Cousin Vinny, the best kids movie ever.
Well, we should watch that sometime.
It is one of my favorite movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah, so good.
But, I mean, was Christmas a big thing in your family? I feel like,
yeah.
Like, it's like, it's not necessarily that you like these movies. It's just that, like, those are what you watch at Christmas when everybody is around and everybody sort of has to watch something that everybody cannot be too opposed to.
There weren't a lot of everybody's in my family. It was,
right.
like, my mom and we'd go visit my grandmother mm-hmm. on Christmas.
You had, like, foster brothers and sisters?
Yeah, but they would usually go to, like, their families or their, like, right. relatives. So it was...
So Christmas... wasn't very big in the Blaine Waters household. You didn't have a reason to believe in the season.
I didn't believe. From a very young age, I was like always challenging Santa Claus. I was like, that guy can't be fucking real.
Wait, do you have a story about not believing in Santa Claus that involves you like on a car trip? Or is that something else?
No, I was like a little kid and I had like created quizzes for Santa every year to like mm-hmm. make me believe in him. And I was like, what's Rudolph's girlfriend's name? And it was like Rose. I mean, I guess that makes sense with his like red nose.
Rose was last year. Now he's with Betty. And but, Donder is pissed.
Yeah. So I never really believed. And then because there was like kids in the playground that would be like, hey, just to let you know, your dreams aren't real. You know, they'd say that to you, be like, "Oh, damn it!" That's like the subtle way of bullying when they couldn't beat you up,
right?
You know, and then they'd wait for you after school anyway. God damn. But yeah, I remember being like in North Carolina where my grandmother yes. was in a Taco Bell, and I sat my mom and my grandmother down. We were eating, and I was eating like this horrible taco.
Hey, shut your mouth. It was a perfect taco.
it was one of my dollar tacos. So good. But I was like, hey, guys, give it to me straight. Like, is there a Santa Claus? And my mom was like, do you really want to know? And I was like, yeah, give it to me. And my mom was like, no. And I burst into tears. And I was like wailing in this. And she was like, no, what have I done? And then my grandma and my mom like explained that, no, Christmas spirit. And like, that's what Santa Claus is about. It's like he's a personification of that spirit that we all have. And I was, I think, like 7 or 8 or something like that. Like, I was pretty young. And apparently as I was leaving the Taco Bell, my mom heard me like grumble to myself, like, I'm not even going to ask about the Easter Bunny.
I love that story. You've got to do like a, you know, like a Stuart McClain of that story or David Sedaris.
Yeah.
Get us some of that This American Life promo.
Well, it's also funny because I have like half a religious family, and so they'd come too to like hang out.
Right.
But like, we were atheists, so it would be like we'd all kind of believe in Santa, but then, or like I stopped believing in Santa at some point, and then they were like, yeah, we don't believe in Santa. And I was like, but you still believe in God, right? Like
that's so, a tricky one too.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, come with me into this Taco Bell. But did you when did you find out about Santa?
I don't know.
Oh, kids, if you're listening, Santa's real, by the way.
Yeah, I feel
I was lied to by my awful parents.
I don't remember a specific instance, but I'm pretty sure it was probably like my dad being like, by the way, don't tell your younger brother and sister that Santa's fake.
Oh, God, that's even worse, though. That's even worse because in one fell swoop, he takes away the dream of Santa and then leaves you with the horrible secret, the weight of that secret that you have to keep.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I got this. I can be the big brother. Oh, shit. My world is crumbling. And that's why I'll never be a doctor.
You asked for, like, a PhD?
An MD.
Ah, that's fair.
Okay, but we should
get into this.
The plot of Miracle on 34th Street, because people might not remember, but it's...
Well, and there's two plots to this movie.
Two plots?
There's an older movie that this is a remake of that has, like, a similar plot but a different ending.
Oh, okay.
Which we're going to talk about, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm interested to hear that.
There you go.
But it starts with... an old man walking down the street. He's wearing a little fedora and like a tweed jacket. Mm-hmm. And he stops and there's this little kid.
And he must be sweating. They must have had to like mop his brow all the time because it's clearly summer in New York.
And the kid wants to ask his grandpa if it's really him.
Yeah.
If that's really who he thinks he is. And the grandpa, of course, doesn't want to be embarrassed by this whole debacle, but the kid wants to know if this is Dr. Hammond.
Did he invent the dinosaurs, Dad?
Well, brought them back. Let me tell you about dino DNA. No, he thinks it's Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And the grandpa is like, okay, will you tell him? Yeah. And he leans into his ear and whispers, it is.
Yeah. Which is nice because it's like this nice, you know, spirit of Christmas thing that we start with, this first little hook of a scene into this movie that becomes all about shopping.
That's right.
There, the next scene is the Macy's Day Parade, but they call it the Kohl's Parade.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they weren't allowed to use Macy's.
What happened to Macy's? I feel like
we'll talk about that at the second half of this.
But you and I, we're Canadian, so we don't have as strong association with the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade as Americans do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who are you trying to fool?
I mean, yeah, they just couldn't use Macy's because Macy's released a statement that we'll talk about soon.
Really?
But, yeah, they couldn't use it, so they had to go with someone else. The first movie, knew that like Macy's was a thing, mm-hmm. and they were like back in the I think 30s, 40s, and they were like, we're gonna make this movie. And then after they made it, they went to Macy's and they showed Macy's, and Macy's was like, yeah, we'll be included in that, even though they would have had to shoot
forgiveness,
so
not
many
permission.
Exactly, they would have to reshoot so many scenes, but they went for it. And this movie, they were like, hey, Macy's, do you? And they were like, no. Okay, we'll rename it Kohl's right from the beginning.
I mean, I feel like it's pretty good advertising to just have a movie be about you, or for your store to be a major, you know. I mean, yeah. FedEx knew this.
I know. Well, the whole thing is that, like, every other store is very jealous of Kohl's, you know? Like, they really talk Kohl's up.
Right.
So Kohl's the bookstore must have done pretty well after this.
I assume so.
I have to assume. Yeah.
There's still one in the Northgate Mall in North Bay.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
The last one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess people just don't believe anymore. But it's the day of the Thanksgiving parade, and this old man who we saw before is up on Santa's sleigh, whipping his whip around. He's doing like an Indiana Jones or BDSM routine. One of those for sure.
Yeah, he's whipping the fake reindeer, which means that he whips the real reindeer. I don't know. It's just all very weird.
Right.
I don't like
that. You think we should call the SPCA on Santa Claus?
I think that there's, yeah.
There's no animals were harmed in the making of this film,
What about plastic animals, Rob? You know, they have feelings too. All those reindeer.
Okay.
Like, Blaine's lost it. He's off the podcast. But there's a drunken Santa right there.
Yeah, the actual parade Santa is a little bit under the weather, kids.
Blah! Give me that bottle.
Well, Santa sees him taking a quick sip of something, and, you know, he gets a little bit aggro about it.
Your sense of occasion is something.
If you're not with the parade, sir, you have to get back up on the sidewalk with everybody else.
I need to see whomever's in charge in order to alert them to this man's drunken condition.
Kiss my...
You don't easy.
Take it easy.
Oh, Gramps, come on. Hey, come on. Let's go for a little walk, huh?
That answer to Jen.
Santa is an aggro person. All he does is, like, try to refrain from hurting people in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has some problems.
Yeah.
I don't think that we're, like, they make the whole court case on, like, oh, is Santa real or not? But, you know, Santa has some real anger problems that need to be focused on, Your Honor.
He has some, like, generational male anger, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to deal with that.
Santa is the patriarchy.
He needs to just talk about his feelings, you know?
Yeah.
Toxic masculinity right there.
But when the real parade Santa gets too drunk and falls off the sleigh, the person who is in charge of the parade, played by Elizabeth Perkins, she has to find a new Santa, or else there's not going to be any Santa for the Thanksgiving Day parade. And who does she pick? Cool Spot. The 7-Up logo. He's there. Just throw him up on there.
And there's a slice of pizza from Pizza Hut. It's Yo Noid. He's there. It's just like all commercials.
No, she picks the old man, Dr. Hammond.
Yeah.
And this is fortuitous because
she trusts this guy way too much for just me, for like a guy who like impersonated Santa and went into this Macy Day parade. He's not supposed to be there. He's trespassing. He gets kicked out by a cop.
Yeah.
He goes, that guy trespassing? I trust him. He's going to lead my sleigh tonight. He's going to be on that thing.
Well, one thing is that Kohl's is in a very precarious position right now. Mm-hmm. Because
of Amazon.
That's right. Jeff Bezos. He's ruining Christmas. He's like the villain of this movie. Basically. But they were just sort of bailed out, and they might still be bought by some big financial empire. So it's not looking good for them. So she can't fuck up, or else her ass is on the line in Christmas terms.
She won't get a turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she gets this guy to do the Santa Claus parade, and he's great at it.
Well, she doesn't even stick around to see if he's great at it. She leaves.
Yeah.
She goes home to, like, get her kid.
I mean, I understand that.
Mara Wilson. From Dylan McDermott. And she's out there watching the parade, and he's like a neighbor at this point. He's not even like a love interest of hers right at the beginning of the movie.
Well, I mean, she kind of is because her daughter wants to set them up. very blatantly and inappropriately.
Yeah, and he's into it. She's the only one not into this whole setup thing.
Yeah, conspicuously, because Dylan McDermott is wearing a sweater.
It's cable knit.
Yeah. He's looking pretty homey, you know?
Yeah.
For, like, all the single moms out there, this was the best that you could get in 1994. You know, Costner's age, it was done. I'm sorry, Blaine's mom.
No, Costner was still viable. But Dylan McDermott, yeah, second runner-up.
He's at least, like, the cable TV or primetime TV,
definitely.
You know, single mom bait.
Oh, yeah, that chiseled jaw.
And the sweater.
Yeah.
The turtleneck's what makes it.
You really are in love with that turtleneck. Oh, my God. But he's kind of into her. She's, like, maybe into him, but not really. Like, her husband left and never came back.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to, like, invite another man into their life so soon after that. You know,
well, and the men that she has invited into her life keep leaving.
Yeah.
Disappearing.
I know. Back to the North Pole.
Can you imagine Santa Claus has been, like, dating her on and off?
Just Richard Attenborough. That's great. We'll use this whip later. So she, like, takes her daughter back, and there's, like, kind of a little spark between her and Dylan McDermott, but only from Dylan McDermott, not from her, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is important because later on, this relationship goes from zero to fucking one crazy very, very fast.
Yeah. But so since the Coles Santa Claus has been fired, they need to get somebody to do the traditional mall Santa deal. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they get this guy, who, by the way, goes by the name Chris.
Right.
Cross. Chris Kringle.
Yeah. Unisex name.
So it's a little bit strange because this guy actually thinks he's Santa. Now, we've been through this before. Mm. Ernest Saves Christmas.
Definitely.
A lot of movies. There's
the one
a lot
40s.
Of mental health issues that come up during the holiday season.
Yeah. But I think what all these movies are saying is, like, you're kind of allowed to be a little crazy on Christmas. Everyone gets
I don't think
crazy.
That's what it's saying. Take your medication. But it is saying that maybe when people are showing harmless mental health issues, we should make space for them rather than turning them out into the cold.
Yeah, let's not normalize people as much as we want to.
Give them a job in the mall with kids.
There's a person that's worrying you. Put them around kids.
Yeah.
Let them babysit your child, which is what happens in this movie.
Well, yeah, later on, they go on a big date.
Yeah.
And Santa
Her
Claus.
And Santa. Oh, sorry. No, Dylan McDermott. Yeah.
Yeah, and Santa is the babysitter. But at the mall, at Kohl's, everything is going pretty well, except that Santa, he doesn't know a lot about commerce and finance. You really want to get people to spend their money at your store.
You should have really finished that econ degree.
Yeah. It's tricky. But so at one point, there's this mom who, like, gives him a whole bunch of lip because he is saying that he'll get her child a toy that is, like, $90 at Kohl's. And Santa tells her, like, well, it's fucking $40 over at Shoppers Express, which is the evil big corporation.
We know it's evil and big because it has a digital clock outside.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing.
LEDs.
Yeah.
When will the suffering stop? But this is, like, going to get him in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big deal. And we get Alice and Janney in perhaps her worst performance ever. In fact, the only terrible performance I've ever seen Alice and Janney give.
It's because they wouldn't let her walk and talk. She just has to stand there with the guy. He won't move.
It's true. Her shoulders are, like, trying to...
Yeah, if she's not talking to her daughter Juno, or she's not walking and talking, it's hard. It's hard.
She just has a really terrible accent. Like, I think that they asked her to speak like she's in, like, a Frank Capra movie or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little, like, transatlantic almost. Yeah, it's weird. But the person talking to her, she's like, oh, this is a kind of great idea. What if we say that we'll price match kind of thing? Like, we'll –
That's not what they do.
Oh, that's not what – oh, right.
There's no price matching. This isn't Walmart. They're like, we want the best for you. We'll even tell you to go shop somewhere else because that's what Christmas means to us at Kohl's.
Right.
And then the idea is everybody will be like, oh, well, that makes me want to shop at Kohl's because they're good people. And then I'll just go buy the cheaper thing that I need over there.
Right.
But everything else at Kohl's.
Right. This was before the internet, when you could just look up the prices of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember, I mean, for me, Christmas was all about the Wish Book.
The Sears Wish Book?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that.
Because I lived in, like, a smaller town, and we didn't have, like, very many great toys.
So the Sears Wish Book came to you in the logging routes.
That's right.
On the horse-drawn, or the horse-drawn sleigh.
Yeah. And, you know, I would get my my Guy Lafleur hockey sweater. No.
Your BB gun?
But, yeah, I mean, you know, it was a big, you know, Christmas, yeah. You know.
Yeah, I remember, like, when you had to kind of order stuff from the catalog for Christmas. So, like, it was a thing that you'd look through and you'd be like, this is what I want,
Mom. Circle your things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
It's not like that anymore. Yeah. Now you just send your mom Amazon listings. And then she sends them to you and they come delivered by drones. Where's the Christmas spirit?
Yeah, I mean, maybe the drones have a little Santa hat on them.
So they go to the Kohl's board and, like, put this together and be like, this is how we should market the thing. And they decide to do that. And it works out pretty well for them.
I think I know why Kohl's is going under. The CEO has no ideas.
Yeah.
The CEO is just, like, kind of this guy that gets walked all over by everyone. They're like, hey, we should do this. And he goes, okay, let's do that. And in the end, he gets called out for something. He's like, you're right. I am spineless. Like, it's just insane.
Yeah.
He's the weirdest. Anyway.
Well, it probably doesn't help that the guy running the competition is the time-traveling megalomaniac from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I think he's also the guy from Lethal Weapon 2, the diplomatic immunity guy.
Right.
Diplomatic immunity. Yeah, he's a great bad guy.
Yeah, he's just like, there's like just random scenes of him, like, he's basically stroking a cat or something evil.
Yeah, we assume. His hands are off screen.
Get Santa Claus.
And bring me to him in his own sack.
So they do try to get Santa Claus. Like, instantly, the Shoppers Express people feel threatened by this man who is the mall Santa. And so these big corporate executive types, they're, like, coordinating this plan, putting the stuff in motion. They, like...
Played by Daphne from Frasier.
Yeah.
And Dexter's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, and they're coordinating. They're trying to get that Santa fired.
Yeah. So they go talk to the drunk Santa from the parade and get the skinny from him.
And he's in a bar designed for drunk Santas. It only has drunk Santas in this bar.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
No, it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a drunk Santa bar?
No. I mean, drunk Santas in New York are a thing.
Oh?
Like, there's this, I can't remember.
Williamsburg, okay.
No, I mean, it's like, there are so many Santas in New York, and so many of them are not well-behaved. I think there was, like, one point every year, maybe it's a Santa convention or something like that, but they basically had to, like, tell them to stop doing it because there was too many drunk Santas passed out all over the place.
Oh, God. Well, that suit looks warm.
Merry Christmas. Yeah.
God damn.
But they get him to go and harass Santa at the Santa's village, trying to provoke him.
Yeah,
and he's like, look at him! This ain't the real Santa. He looks like he's like one of Chris Farley's brothers or something like that.
Totally.
But Santa, like, you know, kind of like freaks out.
Yeah, and then when he leaves the job, that guy, the drunk Santa, kind of follows him and accuses him of pedophilia.
Yeah.
Which is, this is a kid's movie. So I don't know if there's a line in the kids' movie that you want to maybe stop short of,
yeah.
But that might be it. Just saying.
Yeah.
And at this point in the movie also, Santa has already babysat Mara Wilson while these two went on a date, Bill McDermott, and he has asked her to marry him on the first date.
Santa?
No, Dylan McDermott.
Right.
Sweater guy.
Yeah.
The sweater asked.
Yeah, that was like a bit crazy.
And her response is perfectly all right.
Her response is, you know, I'm actually still holding a torch for 14-year-old Tom Hanks. Big?
I'm hoping he'll I'll find that goddamn machine again. Turn him back to a kid.
Zoltan?
If I've given you a false impression of this relationship, I'm very sorry.
Are you serious?
Have I ever given you any sign that I wanted to marry you?
No.
Then tell me, whatever possessed you to make such a presumption?
It's insane for him or the screenwriters to think that this is like a thing people do.
Or is it?
It is.
It's Dylan McDermott. If Dylan McDermott proposed to you on a first date, you'd say yes, goddammit.
Just staring at that sweater, yes.
Unless Dermot Mulroney was nearby. Then you would get confused and be like, which one have I been seeing?
Am I the drunk Santa? I'm seeing double. So he hits this fucking guy. He hits the Santa. He accosts the Santa.
We're really jumping back and forth.
I know, man, but this is what the movie's doing.
That's true.
That's true.
He does assault the drunk Santa with his cane.
Yeah.
And, the people who are work for the Shoppers Express, they come out and they make sure that a big hubbaloo is created. And they're like, this is the Santa from Kohl's.
Yeah, they take a picture.
Yeah. And yeah. It's a bad scene.
Mm-hmm.
So Santa, he gets arraigned. You know what it's like in the system.
Arraigned deer? What? Yeah, he goes and he says that he's insane. He fails the psychological test.
Yeah.
And I love that Dylan McDermott is like, you failed that on purpose, didn't you? You are really Santa. Like, I don't – does he believe the lawyer really that
well,
he's Santa?
I mean, the lawyer is supposed to be the one with a little bit of faith. Like, even back when they're having Thanksgiving dinner with him and the mom and little Merrill Wilson – he's like, hey, you guys mind if I do a little prayer? And they're like,
and he prays to fucking Santa.
We don't believe things.
Then they eat their Taco Bell, and it's fine.
he's supposed to be like, he's the one adult who sort of leaves space for the supernatural, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
They should be checking him into the asylum.
But his whole thing is that the judge is kind of being bribed by the prosecution. And the prosecution is like, I'll give you money. And the judge is like, sure. And we can just open a shut case, put this guy in an institution. But then Cable Knit Sweater comes in, saves the day, and they have to go to like court for this.
Objection. The judge does not accept any bribe. At first,
there's kind of a tacit understanding.
There's like some business going down, but J.T. Walsh, who plays the prosecutor,
he's
like, yeah, of course, we'll contribute to your campaign. We just want to get this taken care of. And then the judge hears we, and he's like, not so fast. And then he refuses to like sign the, you know, commitment papers and decides to let justice prevail. So the judge is all right in my book.
If one person was going to like write this Santa off and he was going to put this guy in an institution for one person, but then when it's in a corporation, he stops it from happening.
Well, I think
he's
that's
still a bad person.
No, that's sound. I mean, if
no.
If a corporation wants to get somebody committed, we should totally take umbrage at that. Umbrage!
No, no. For sure. For sure. But if an individual wants to get someone committed, we should take umbrage with that too, Rob.
But, I mean, if it's a prosecutor, then they might be working in that person's best interest. I don't...
God, I forgot you were a lawyer. Damn it. Foiled again. It's a little... I'm just going to say the judge is a little shady.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he's a judge. He has to weigh both sides.
Right. Okay.
But.
Yeah. Okay. So.
But, I mean.
Better than some Supreme Court judges is what you're saying. Awesome.
Well, yeah. He's definitely better than Gorsuch or whoever the. What's that fucking
Kavanaugh?
Guy? Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, the big day comes, the court day. And, of course, you know, Dylan McDermott is ready for court because he's had some. The practice.
God damn it. Just waiting on that one all the time.
Yep.
He's had some the practice. That's great.
And this is where it does turn into a legal drama for your mom and dad because there's all sorts of like procedural stuff and Dylan McDermott's like, hey.
So I watched a YouTube video of a lawyer going through this movie and being like, this is all the things wrong with this movie. At one point, the defense calls up the prosecution's progeny. Like, they call up, like, their kids.
No, well, no, no, no. Isn't it, he calls up the wife.
He calls up, yes, he does call up the wife.
And then he.
Yes, the wife.
Dylan McDermott questions J.T. Walsh's wife
in
about.
In the old one, he calls up the kid, the offspring of the.
Well, see, some progress already has been made. We're like, we can't submit kids to this sort of potential trauma of a courtroom.
Right.
However, this guy's wife, you know. There's nothing better than using somebody's wife to make a heel look like a heel.
Mrs. Collins, do your children believe in Santa Claus?
Yes.
Did they come to this belief naturally, or were they introduced to it by a family member?
It was a family member.
Yourself?
Yes.
And your husband?
Yes.
Your husband told your children that there is a Santa Claus?
Yes.
Oh, man. And she's so charmed by Dylan McDermott. Like, she's so charmed.
Well,
he's not even wearing the sweater at this point.
It's under his suit.
She just knows it's there. Yeah, she's charmed. They make a bad case. And then he kind of convinces the prosecution that he has to convince the court somehow that Santa isn't real.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and J.T. Walsh basically is trying to get a reaction from Chris to make it to make him look crazy.
Right.
And it doesn't look very good for him as, like, the night before the verdict is announced, because the judge is like, I just don't know how I can set this guy free. He tells Dylan McDermott this, and Dylan McDermott's like, oh, hey, this is all about the money. And then he thrusts his money clip at the judge.
Yeah.
And that's when he gets an idea.
Sell money clips.
Bribery.
Yeah, I mean, the judge is into that, so fuck. But it's also, I find it weird, like, can the defense talk with the judge alone to come up with a better case? Like, I feel like that's, like, insider trading in a case. I know that's not how the court works.
Yeah, we don't know anything about law.
No, we don't. But I
did seem sketchy.
I mean, you know more about the law than me, but, like, I think that's bad.
I mean, I've seen most of The Good Wife and of the first season of The Good Fight, so I do have a pretty intricate knowledge of the law
on that. All right. Sweet.
But yeah, it does seem a little bit improper, unless he also has, like, a little moment with J.T. Walsh. That could also be good. And he's like, you know.
Well, he did before. I guess.
Take your kids to Taco Bell.
So then the next day, Mara Wilson is there. Mm-hmm. Everyone from the movie is there.
Well, it's the big day. And also, Coles has put out all these advertisements because Elizabeth Perkins, her character's name is Dory, she, at one point, they were going to disavow him.
Yeah.
They were going to be like, we're distancing ourselves from this whole Santa
because
debacle.
He assaulted someone, which is probably what you should do.
Assault the schmaltz.
She goes into that boardroom, and she talks to that CEO, and she's like, you're a coward. And he goes, yeah, I am. We're going to stand behind this crazy man that attacked someone on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And then all of New York, like it's Ghostbusters 2, gets into it.
It's very Ghostbusters 2. I was feeling the Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that in there. Yeah. And they all get into it. All the construction workers are on the highways. They're watching TV.
Yeah, they're all watch. Everybody's, you know, it's a big deal. Like, the whole city is paying attention.
Yeah.
And Meryl Wilson comes up and gives the judge a Christmas card.
Yeah.
And in it
is
$1.
Bribery. It works.
And the judge is like, oh, little girl, it costs a lot more than this to buy off a judge. It costs at least $5. However, since your intent was valiant and it shows you believe in the legal system, we will let Santa Claus go free. Try not to assault anybody.
That's what I'm always surprised at. Like, you joke about the $5, but then when you hear what politicians are bought off with, it's like $10,000, $12,000. It's like, how are you? such little money. Oh, God damn
it. Yeah, they're
for someone
that
bad. Who's like making so much money. Anyway, so she brings it in, and there's like, "In God We Trust" is kind of circled on the bill.
Yeah.
So we know. We're not going to do an insert shot here. It's going to be circled. So kids get it. And the judge comes up with the defense so that whatever his name is, doesn't even have to come up with the defense.
Dermot McDermott.
D&D over there.
That's right.
So the judge comes up with their own defense, and he throws the court case out.
He's like, the whole system's based on Looney Tunes.
It's like Daffy Duck in the corner.
Yeah. If the system is based on the belief in God, therefore, if we don't believe in God, then we can't believe in laws. And if we don't believe in laws, then there's no system. There's no government. There's just anarchy.
I announce the purge. He takes out a gun. No. What did this movie become?
Yeah.
No, he says, you know, we believe in God and invisible force. So therefore, you know, through supremacy or whatever.
Then J.T. Walsh has got to be like, separation of church and state? Damn.
Yeah. Not in America.
Case dismissed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Santa goes free.
Santa goes free.
And he goes to do his little delivery.
Yeah, he assaults many more people before he's caught.
And Elizabeth Perkins and Dylan McDermott get a call to go to a church.
This is the fucking weirdest.
And they're like, oh my God, it looks like it's decorated for a wedding or something. And
they're like, did you invite me? No, I didn't invite you. Oh, someone else must have. And then the priest takes out a fucking ring. She's like, am I going to get married to a priest? I don't know. They're at a surprise marriage.
Yeah.
For themselves.
Yeah.
Why didn't they walk out, Rob? Why didn't they walk out?
I don't know.
That's a creepy thing.
Well, it's probably not legally binding. A, there was no witness.
Santa's always watching. So you better watch out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But yeah, they get married and then they go home and her ring blinds that poor little girl. The ring is so reflective that it's a spotlight on the tree.
Yeah.
The girl falls.
Well, that must be what's lighting up the back of their heads throughout the whole movie.
I know. Yeah, that halo effect.
Yeah. Every shot feels like touched by an angel.
Yeah, except it's smacked by a Santa. God. I just can't get over to the assaults people and everyone's like, but he's Santa. It's like, no.
Maybe it was self-defense.
And then they go out, and Mara Wilson also wanted a house.
Yeah.
She had a lot of fucking...
I know, this fucking kid.
She wanted a dad. Could have been any dad, mm-hmm. but, they, you know, you got cable net.
They're on sale at Shoppers Express.
And then she wanted a baby brother and a house. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
But she gets it all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the weird part is when... At the end of the movie, the final beat is like, wait, there was something else that she asked for, and she got a house and a dad,
yeah.
And it's the other one was a little brother, and then it just sort of like looks at Elizabeth Perkins, and they're like, ooh.
Yeah.
And she's like, quick, we need to go to the Miracle on 35th Street, the Planned Parenthood.
Can you de-miracle me, please? Because
I think it is a miracle.
Because I just married this guy and I'm already regretting it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So that's it.
That's Miracle on 34th Street.
I also loved that I thought that she was gifted the house because she saved Coles. But then the guy in the house gives her the key and goes... And you got a big bonus, so you can afford this house now. Like, what? She didn't even get gifted the house?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's it.
They lost it all in the crash.
Oh, yeah. 2008 was not kind.
No. And Coles is gone.
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, yeah. It's only Walmart around.
Yeah.
Walmart and Amazon. So we'll be back in 1 second. I have some questions for you, Rob, just about... how babies are made, particularly in this movie.
Okay.
You know, one night, really. And then we'll do some behind the scenes. It'll be a lot of fun. Curl up by the fire. And this gift will keep on giving. See you in a second.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Blaine, are you excited for the holidays?
Oh, man. Yeah. It's going to be great. You got some eggnog. You get home.
No, Blaine. Sorry. I meant singular. Are you excited for the holiday?
Oh, that.
You know the movie with Kate Winslet, Cameron Diaz, Jude Law, and Jack Black?
Who wouldn't be excited for the holiday? It's like, you know, Jack Black is in a rom-com.
Yeah.
You expect some maybe Jack Black improv in there.
Should we do out about?
Oh, man. It's going to be a lot of...
tenacious D scatting.
A lot of scatting.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that movie next week, and we have a very special guest, Catherine Connell from Another Gaze, which is a great film blog. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about everything about the movie, and it'll be a gift for you to unwrap next week.
Welcome back to Rewatchability. We're talking about Miracle on 34th Street, the 1994 remake.
Bing, bong, bing, bong, bing, bong, bing, bong.
I thought you were doing like the subway chimes for a second. okay.
Play, there's a train coming.
Question numero uno. Which two actors who shared screen time in this movie also starred in another movie about a man pretending to be someone he's not?
Wow.
That like this be... movie, this Santa pretending that he's a Santa.
That could so it's Tootsie?
They were not in Tootsie.
No, I think I know what this is.
Yeah.
I think it's Mara Wilson and the judge were both in Mrs. Doubtfire.
They were.
Because the judge played Robin Williams' boss, right?
Yeah, in that last dinner scene.
Right.
Yeah. So they were both in that movie. That's a good job.
Yeah.
Good job.
I know things.
Okay, one less piece of coal
for you. I know
Mara
Wilson's filmography. She's only been in like six movies, and none of them, you know, later than 1999.
Yeah, well, her parents never let her be in any movie that wasn't a family movie. They didn't want her to go through anything tough as a kid actor, which is kind of nice, actually.
Yeah,
you know, thinking about it, and then she stopped being an actor, and only very recently has she like come back.
Right.
She
actually acted in things?
Yeah, there was some things recently that she came back to act in, something to do with nostalgia, some of that. So I'm sure she was playing Mara Wilson from being a kid.
Right.
Okay, so question number two. When, this is more like bar trivia, when did In God We Trust first appear on paper money in the States?
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was done for this movie, so 1994.
It's done for this movie, that's true.
No, wasn't it like 1954 or something like that?
Yeah, 1957. Great job.
Close enough.
It appeared on coinage in like 1867, and in the original movie, the lawyer uses the supremacy clause. They kind of use it here, but not really, to say that if the federal government will give mail to Santa, then he must exist.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the scene where they just bring in bags of mail and dump it out.
That's what I wanted in this movie.
Me too.
Like, I felt so much desire to see the mail bags.
Because it's a beautiful image, and just staring at a dollar bill is kind of so apropos for this movie. Like,
right.
It's just so about commercialism.
Yeah, like as a commercial remake.
Yeah. It was just designed to make money. There was no reason to remake that movie. Hence why Macy's released a statement saying that they didn't want to be a part of it because they thought the original shouldn't be and couldn't be improved upon.
Oh.
And they kind of called it a cash grab that they didn't want to be a part of.
So Macy's had the higher ground.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah. I mean, this movie does take a few like egregious steps. Like, I mean, I was joking about the cool spot earlier, but at the end when Santa's at his court date, like, and they do, like, all everybody believes, at one point it's like, 7-Up believes in Santa.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Yeah. Tony the Tiger thinks Santa's great. You know, like, what the fuck is this movie?
Yeah. But my question is 7-Up a Coke brand? Because that's like, they basically invented Santa Claus, as we talked about last week.
Yeah, I think it might be. I don't know. Pepsi has what?
Mountain Dew,
yeah. The other thing that I thought was kind of interesting about the dollar bill was that Franklin Jefferson wanted on money...
Santa Claus,
you're right. No, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God, is what they wanted the quote to be.
Whoa.
Which you'd have to have pretty big coins.
Yeah.
Saying to fit that.
That's
all
pretty hardcore saying, though.
I know.
I mean, I'm not so much into the God part, but like, tyrant. That's a cool word.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And when you have one maybe in the office of president, then, when that quote kind of comes to fruition. Maybe
right.
If that quote was on the money, people would have been...
People would follow due process and prosecute people who have committed crimes, even if they're in the highest office in the land.
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe before they become into the highest office in the land when he admits to assault. Okay, question number three. What did the studio do that resulted in almost 1,500 tickets being returned for this movie?
Ooh. I don't know. Was it, some studio executive and a Me Too problem, or?
This was 1994, so
okay.
So no.
No,
unfortunately, no. Yeah. No, they said they could. The studio said that if you didn't 100% like this movie, if you wouldn't recommend this movie to 100% of the people that you knew, you could get your money back.
Really?
Yeah. Not even like the 12-minute rule, which is in most of the theaters now. It's you could watch the whole movie and get your money back, but only 1,500 tickets were returned.
That's 1,500 people.
I know. Yeah, but that's only like 10,000, 5,000, 1,500, 50, I don't even know, 15,000 tickets being returned.
And those are the people who weren't too lazy to like stamp an envelope and write in and be like, argh.
Yeah. They got some cash back, so that's nice.
Well, I never got my check. That's a bold thing to do. Why did they do that?
I think it was in the kind of nature of the movie. I think they were just trying to get people like to see the movie in the holiday season.
Right.
It was also kind of a last-ditch effort thing because this movie was drowned out. The Santa Claus came out the same year. There was a lot of holiday movies.
Right. This was like peak holiday. Like,
yeah.
I feel like there was a time in the 90s around this time where, like, it was peak holiday. And then after that, we haven't had quite the same Christmas. Like, it seemed like maybe the last year that people, like, truly believed in Christmas.
I think it was the last year that the studios did that many Christmas movies because they were like, we oversaturated the market and we didn't get a return.
But also,
on investment.
After this, I feel like Christmas became very politicized.
Right. Like, war on Christmas.
Yeah, the so-called war on Christmas.
Right.
Fox News basically decided to say if you don't celebrate Christmas this way or you don't celebrate Christmas at all, you're a bad person.
Yeah, or bad American, yeah.
And that, I think, kind of made like celebrating Christmas feel not so great.
Yeah, well, it felt like you were buying into something instead of celebrating something.
Yeah.
Like you had to have like the ticket to ride almost.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like something that you could invent yourself. Like, did you have Christmas traditions when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like same here. My mom was all about like trying to get new traditions started every year.
And
almost like new traditions were a tradition. Like, but like getting a book the night before or to like read or a comic book.
Books? Those suck. I would have gotten Transformers.
Yeah. So I think that when it became politicized, yeah, it did tarnish it a bit. You did feel kind of the rust on Christmas a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear you. Those halos that you mentioned earlier behind everyone was the DP was like, I want to create such a warm feeling like everyone is standing in front of a Christmas tree.
Oh, man. It is so like...
It's egregious.
It makes it look like a Hallmark special, which, I mean, it's sort of like laying the steps for in a lot of ways, but it doesn't quite have that level of just blatant schmaltz.
Yeah. Yeah. And like everything's not so squeaky clean yet. Like there's some hairs out of place on actors sometimes.
Not on Dylan McDermott.
No, no.
Okay.
No, no. He's perfect. But out of other people, whereas like Christmas movies now, they're like overlit so much that you can hardly see what's happening.
Right.
It's just supposed to be so bright and so warm that you can't see anything bad on screen. Which is, I don't know, I think that...
It's a bit much.
Yeah, I think it's a bit much. I like that Christmas is kind of dark, too. Like, Christmas is one of those days that you stay up a little later because you're excited about the next morning. I still stay up all night because I'm so excited about the next morning, even though I don't, you know, I'm not getting presents under the tree so
much. Oh, my God, you're just staying up. You're just, like, sitting alone up at night, eating Taco Bell, waiting for Santa to come down the chimney.
I love it. I love Christmas. It's just sometimes these Christmas movies get like to be a bit much when they try to tell you what Christmas is. And this feels like it's got like it wanted to be commercial so much.
Right.
That it was like, hey, Macy's, we can be an ad for you. And even Macy's was like, we're okay. So
we're doing fine on Christmas.
Yeah. So that's all I could kind of see when I was watching this movie is just the advertising that was going on, not only for Christmas, but just for commerce in general.
Well, do you think that's part of something to do with the John Hughes aspect? Like, we've talked about a bunch of John Hughes movies, and I think he was just a conservative guy. He sort of loved the capitalism, and he loved, like, that sort of America, you know, where I think he was like a Reagan trickle-down economics true believer. And so he, of course, wants to put his idea of Christmas faith into money, into the capitalist system where people get employed and everybody, like, it works for people.
Was Planes, Trains, Chris Columbus or... John Hughes?
It was John Hughes. It was based off his, like, experiences.
Yeah, and I think that movie... I think a lot of John Hughes movies have actual heart to them. This one didn't seem to, though. Like, I know that he didn't, like, write it or direct it. It was just, like, produced by him.
I think he wrote it, didn't he?
Did he? Okay. But it just seemed like there was no real connections between any of these people. Everything felt forced. Like, the marriage was like, what the hell is this? like, even her with her daughter was just, like, very...
Right.
Strained. It was so strange. She's like, you know, you shouldn't believe in Santa and you shouldn't believe. And if that was really going on, there might have been some connection underlying that. Like maybe even Mara Wilson like copying her mother in some aspects of how she – so that we understand that they do love each other.
Yeah, it's very strange. Like this movie can't seem to hold both the fact that the mom can be like a working professional woman and – have affection for her child.
Yeah. It's like it's the 90s working woman where she's just like cold and distanced because like, you know, that's women nowadays. You know, they're so cold because they're getting
with
ahead.
December 1st.
And it's, and it's like, well, you know, maybe they have a lot more to go through to get to the spot that they're in. Anyway. Yeah. But I
think Elizabeth Perkins did a really good job.
She's so charming.
I mean, she's not... like supposed to be charming, but I mean playing the character that she is playing, I think she does it very well. I mean, she's one of those actors that just seems to have like that sort of like distance between her and the camera, you know what I mean?
Yeah
So well, it works very well for whatever this is trying to do.
Right. I mean, I believed that, you know, she was falling a little bit for Dylan by the end, for Sweater, by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But like...
because who isn't?
But he just kind of keeps on giving her Blue Steel, you know,
right,
and Magnum. And I'm just like, I don't...
I know.
There's nothing happening behind the eyes of that guy.
Yeah.
There's no charm coming out, really. Just not seeing it.
Well, he's just supposed to be like a good man type.
Yeah.
You know, he wears the cape and sweater.
Yeah.
You can trust him around your kid.
I love that he's a lawyer and has more home time than like she does working at... like this Macy's knockoff.
Yeah.
It's just, anyway, all this stuff is
so
weird.
She plans the parade. That's one job a year.
Yeah. So
and she wasn't that great at it.
No. She had to get a guy off the street.
She hired that drunk dude. Even Meryl Wilson knows that he's a problem. She's like, Is it Victor again? Is it Victor Ficelli again? He smells like Tinkle.
Oh, God.
Widow Mara Wilson, did you like her? I mean, what do you think about her performance? Because she is, I think she gives a great job. She's so precocious. She's so, but also I hate her. I just want to strangle her.
Oh, my God. Homer Simpson's over here. No, I like her. I think she's done better in other movies. Like, this wasn't anyone's best outing, man.
Okay.
This was like, even the DP had an off night on this one. Like, it's just nothing really coalesced and came together for me. I mean, I had seen the In God We Trust before. I had seen a large parts of this movie, but it just never really felt like it was like the old one. Like, I feel like the old one has bigger set pieces and the warmth that this one wanted to have, and it's just because this one was so fucking commercial. The other one had Macy's in it and it was less commercial than this one.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's a feat.
Were there other differences that you noted between the two?
There was a guy that cameo from the old one that was in this one. Alvin Greenman played the doorman in this and played another, I don't know, just a random guy in the original. Nice. Because it was a long time ago, man. And yeah, it was almost remade before in the 80s.
Really?
Yeah, which would have been kind of interesting. The two people attached were director Tom Mankiewicz.
Okay.
Who, have you heard of him before? He did all a huge rash of Bond movies.
Okay.
And then he would do this, which would have been really interesting.
Santa Claus.
Yeah, exactly. Then he could have been petting that cat, you know? It would have been fine. And then the writer, Neil Cuthbert, wrote Mystery Men, which seems like, and Adventures of Pluto Nash. Mm. So that would have been a weird one for this, too. Like, I think that would have been kind of a schizophrenic movie if we're just putting all the previous directors and writers' movies together.
Yeah.
Whereas this team seems a little more, yeah, like, I get it. I get why they did it.
Well, the director for this, didn't he also direct Encino Man? Classic film.
Yeah.
Classic film that teaches us about the joys of being a caveman.
Yeah. Missing Link.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mara Wilson, the reason why I mentioned Chris Columbus before, I was confused. Mara Wilson was not supposed to be in this movie. The main character was supposed to be a boy, a young boy.
Macaulay Culkin?
Probably. And then Chris Columbus was like, they couldn't get Macaulay Culkin probably. And he was like, put Mara Wilson in it. She's great. And so that's how she got the role.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. So how did you feel? This was a bigger movie for you. Like, this was kind of a staple in your house. Like, how did you feel rewatching it? Did it bring you back to those Christmas mornings?
Yeah, in certain ways. I mean, right now, at this particular moment of time, it's very snowy out.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very Christmassy.
I know.
It's the second day of December. You know, I watched this. My girlfriend was there. She was really into it. It nice. Felt fun to watch. And it is a very commercial movie, but everything about Christmas is commercial. You either have to accept it all or you have to reject it all and be a big old Scrooge. And I don't have the energy right now. So I thought that it worked.
Because you trekked through the snow to get here.
Because I trekked through the snow to get here. But I thought that it worked pretty well for everything that it's trying to do. I still like Richard Attenborough as Santa Claus. I think Mara Wilson does fine. I mean, Dylan McDermott, Elizabeth Perkins, they do fine. Like, Dylan McDermott
is kind of it. They're just fine. I don't know. Like,
what do you expect, though? It's a Christmas movie. It's just, you're supposed to put it on and it's
like an
fine.
Ugly Christmas sweater. You just put it on, you sit there, you spill eggnog on it so you can take it off. Wow. That was too specific for the party that I just went to.
You know, it's just about spending time with your loved ones, Blaine. So put on Miracle on 34th Street, gather the kids around.
I have to get some kids.
Well, maybe there'll be a little Christmas miracle.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But,
I mean, I did have a surprise wedding, so.
I thought it was rewatchable. I enjoyed it. I think that it does a lot of the things that you want a Christmas movie to do, and that was satisfying for me. Blaine, I get the feeling that there's a little bit of humbug in your eggnog this Christmas.
There's also scotch. No, I...
Well, pass it this way.
Yeah, I didn't like it, man. I didn't... I'm going to say that it's not rewatchable. Also, wow. Because I've seen bits and pieces of that old one, and it just feels so much more authentic. I don't know whether it's because it's old. I don't know whether because the...
Blaine, before you say any more, let me give you this Christmas card.
Okay. There's... let me just... Yeah, okay. And inside is a it's an IOU. You couldn't even put a $1 bill in here, eh? That's
No, you owe me.
Oh. Yeah, I was reading it backwards.
Yeah, so
fuck. Yeah. You can't just do that. Is that legally binding?
Pay up. I need to buy a lot of presents. My kid asked for a house and a daddy. And a baby brother.
I love that you could ask for a dad. It's like, no, I'm not
a real dad. You know, somebody who can be a role model.
Oh god, my kid's taking out microphones, doing podcasts. I can't have that. I want something more for my child. Yeah, I'm gonna say it's not rewatchable. I really do want to rewatch the old one though.
Okay.
Yeah, along with this, you know, It's a Wonderful Life and some of those old Christmas movies that I feel like have that spirit and aren't as commercial, you know? And you say you have to get the commercial in with the Christmas spirit too, but I say there's enough non-commercial Christmas out there that, like, it's just about the feeling of being with your loved ones. Like, Scrooged is all about, you know, doffing all that, like, commercial stuff.
But there's still product placement in it.
Yeah, it's true.
Everything that that professes to be anti-commercialism is, in fact, the most commercial.
Don't ruin Christmas for me,
Rob. Believe! And well, bye.
And bye. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening this week on Rewatchability. If you want to give us a present, you can go to patreon.com/rewatchability. Or you can just talk to us. You can hang out with us. It doesn't need to be about commercialism.
No.
You can go on Facebook.
Give us some money.
Probably about commercialism.
Oh, Facebook's the worst.
Yeah. Maybe just tweet us.
No, that guy's bad too.
Hey, you know what? I don't think Google makes any money off you sending an email in.
That guy's the anti-Santa Claus.
But you can go and buy a t-shirt, which isn't at all benefiting us in any way, at TeePublic. We get money from that, right?
A little bit.
Okay, good. And we'll be back with another kind of holiday-themed rom-com, which I'm really excited to talk about next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.